the blunt by then.
Yeah.
I can't remember the others.
Well, Miss Sutherland would have been the head.
Oh, she was in the infants.
Yeah.
Oh, she was a lovely person.
She was.
Oh, yes. They said she was... I never found her so.
No.
And then, in those days, there were three rooms in the infant school. No, not three rooms. Three classes. Miss Sutherland had a class at that end, and one of the teachers had it in that. And then there was one behind a room.
Yes.
It was a sort of L-shaped room.
That's right.
But I was in there quite often. It all depended on the year. Miss Goldsmith was with me. She came straight from college to Cranbrook. And we were great friends. I remember when peace was declared in 1918. I was in the little room, and the other three. Somebody came up to the school and told us peace was declared. And she burst open the room and she said, "It's all over, it's all over." I said, "What is?" She said, "The war." And, "Oh," I said, "is it?" And I went on. We were having a counting lesson. There were fives. And the wall frame up. Christine went
on. We still got that frame.
Have they really?
Yes.
Well, that was still there then in 1914. 18, that was.
Yeah. You actually started there as a fully qualified teacher in 1914, didn't you? Is that right? When the war began? You went there?
Yes. Yes.
That was after you had been to college?
Yes. During the war, the vestry hall was a
sort of casualty station, or
yes,
something like
right.
that. Mm.
So it was silly. They weren't the very bad cases, but the convalescents.
Oh, yes.
They were all convalescents in there. They used to walk up and down the town, the office saw them in their blue uniforms, you know.
Yes.
Had a special blue. Yes, well, I went to college, and I had 2 years in college, and then I came back.
Which college did you go to?
St. Gabriel's.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It was a girls' college then, it's a mixed one,
yes.
You know?
Oh, yes, it's happening everywhere.
Oh, yes. That's, I came back and went to sitting room.
Oh.
No, wait a minute. This is where I get the muddle.
Anyway, you taught somewhere else before you came to Cranbrook in 1914.
That's right. Because I arrived by train, I came out of the station. I didn't know where the school was, nobody was there. So I looked around and I saw the top of the church. I made for the church. And I arrived at the school. A few minutes later, the girl comes in. "I'm very sorry, I couldn't see her. There was nobody came off that train, only one woman. And she went straight off and she knew just where she was going." Schoolmistress looked around. She said, "Yes, and here's the lady." "Oh," she said, "yes, I saw her come out." She said, "Yes, you knew where she was going, but you didn't know who she was, did you?"
Mm.
She didn't even guess.
No.
I was the only one that was there.
Mm.
But anyway, that was that. I went to sitting room and stayed a year. And then I went to Nottingham, not Nottingham the city, but outside. And then I came back to Plymouth.
Oh, yes.
That was the beginning of the war. And I remember that very well because I was staying with the rector's wife at the time. I spent the last weekend there, because Gretchen was there. And the husband came in, as I was getting ready to come away. And he said, "Laura, I'm sure there's going to be war. I think I'd better go straight into the bank." So she said, "Yes, I think that would be the best thing to do, to go this morning before things happen." They weren't sure how much of the bank should be shut up with the war coming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I came home. I came back to Plymouth. I stayed there from 1914 to 1923, if I remember right. And then I left. As I was going away, I was great friends with Cameron Bell, who was the vicar in those days.
Oh, he was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he had been the vicar for quite a long time. He was older than me. And formerly, he was the head of Dover College, the big boys' school in Dover.
Yes.
He was there for 20 years. So, of course, he was very interested in teachers of all kinds.
Mm.
And when I was only just a student, he came into the school one morning and he said, "You're interested in teaching?" I said, "Yes, very." He said, "And so am I." He said, "You know, you have to know a lot." I said, "Oh, yes. Especially religion." I said, "Well, I did go to a church college." "Yes," he said, "I know you did. I know you." Of course, it was partly to do with it because he was one of the governors of St. Gabriel's College and he was living all over the place.
Oh, I see.
And he used to give me a talk every Saturday morning about an hour on religion, all sorts of religion. I was just alone in his study.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1923, I went away because he said, "Miss Sutherland will be retiring in 2 years. And we very much want you to come back as the headmistress. Now go away, have another place for 2 years. You want experience at other places, you know." It's quite true. He said, "Go away, and in 2 years you'll come back as our headmistress."
Mm-hmm.
So I went. And I went to a place called Crestwood. Now there I met a young man, so it was goodbye. I never went back. But at the end of 2 years, when it was time for the Sutherland to retire, they were waiting for me to apply. They waited, and it must have been 2 months, I suppose. No, 3 months. 3 months. I had a letter from Cameron Bell asking me why I'd never applied. Is Sutherland is retiring in only a very short time left. And he said, "We've been waiting for your application. We've had such a lot of applications. We've been waiting for yours. And we've waited 3 months for you." I wrote back and I said, "I'm very sorry, I'm not coming back." So that was the end of Premier.
Yes.
And I never came back there.
What was it like in the school during the war? That's all right. Were there any restrictions to school? Did you have dangers
rationing.
Oh, there was nothing like that in the first World War.
You didn't have to do anything like that.
Oh, no. All we did in the First World War was, when the peace was declared, we went marching up the street, bands going, some of the men in the hospital. They could play instruments. They, I wear those effective instruments, goodness knows, but they came out. They made the band, and we marched up and down the highway. Everybody rejoiced. But we had no bombs, we had nothing like that. We just had invalid men coming home. But anyway, what's the next story?
Did they have the galleries in the classrooms when you were there? Do you remember?
I know the galleries.
Yeah. That would have been in the bigger room, I think.
No, not in Cranbrook.
No.
No, they had a gallery in Sissinghurst.
Oh, yes.
I attended Sissinghurst School.
Yes.
Before I went to secondary school.
Yeah.
And in the infant part there, they had a gallery. Their master and mistress were upstairs. Mr. and Mrs. Upston.
Yeah.
He had been home for the public classes, and the infants were in the gallery room. And the next room, there was another room, sort of one long room here, and two smaller ones at this end. That one was the plain floor, but this was the gallery. I remember teaching in there one day when I was only a scholar. Mrs. Upstall, who was the mistress, was very short, I was told, and she had to look up to me. She said, "You are fortunate. I always wanted to be told, now I have to look up to you, and you're a young girl." I was tall. As tall as I am now.
Remember what sort of lighting they had in the classrooms at Cranbrook? Did they have any? Because I know at one point there wasn't any lighting at all. Remember?
I don't remember whether there was any lighting, because I don't ever remember going in and lighting. The only time... Well, if they did have any lighting, it would have been oil lamps suspended from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember.
No, I don't. Well, I know for some time they didn't have any lighting at all. Possibly at the end of the last century they had oil lamps, but there was a time when they didn't have anything, and then artificial lighting was only brought in, electric light was brought in during the Second World War, so there was a long gap when there was no artificial lighting at all, which must have made it very difficult on dark days such as we've been having just lately. And in the winter time, of course, it must have been very difficult.
We went home early.
You did?
If it was very bad, we went home early.
Oh, you could do that. I mean, today one daren't send children home earlier.
Well,
of course, the parents were at home, or at least the mothers were at home in those days, weren't they?
Oh, yes, they did.
That's
the
thing.
Only when it was hot, didn't it?
Yes. But then the school was on holiday for hot
school,
cooking,
was,
wasn't it?
Yeah. But, not everybody. Then, where did I come back? No, I never came back.
Now, you were there for those 9 years, weren't you, altogether? You were there when the Lakes retired,
yes.
And Mr. and Mrs. Chapman
Mr.
came.
Mr. and Mrs. Chapman came.
Yeah.
They had a little boy, a little girl. And there was one little girl in the school who fell in love with the little boy. They were inseparable. Mr. Chapman's little boy.
Yeah.
Father and mother used to love him. Wherever they went, wherever they were, those two were always together. Always played together. go on. I don't remember the girl's name, but I remember the fact.
Yes, Joan Chapman was the girl.
Was she?
Yes. She talked there afterwards.
Oh.
I think the boy's name was Jeffrey. And then there was another girl, I believe, Joyce, but perhaps she came later.
Yes, they were only infants. Infants of age.
Oh, yes, yes. There's another thing there.
So we got through the war.
Were you restricted in any way in the use of books and so on? Did it affect you in that way? I suppose you didn't really have a great number of...
We didn't. The book I remember from reading was Sonnenschein. And then we had a book, Blackie Pumpkinstitch. That had a picture of the top of the page and the reading of the gospel on every page. That was a Blackie. But the one that was there when I first went was Sonnenschein. No pages. And picture anyway. I don't remember any of the variations. You had just the one book to read. Then the next in difficulty, you know, all the way through, but they were all Sonnenschein. That's when I first went.
Yeah.
And then the Blackie came in, and then as the years went by, more publications came out, I suppose. They tried them out just like all the other teachers did. There were very few.
Yes, well, there were very few in those days anyway, weren't there? And what about writing? Was it slates and pencils?
Oh,
and
yes, slates and pencils.
Yes.
And when we did have we had what they called a copybook. That was all very, very careful. The names of that writing,
cursive or copper page.
Anyhow, one line had the writing on the next line, was their line, and you had to copy it on the top and on the middle.
Yeah.
I don't remember pens. Yes, I do. But we had pencils and slate pencils. I never had lead pencils, but we had pens that had a wooden handle, a metal shoulder, and then a nib that fitted into that metal shoulder. So what would we tell you if you got a bad pen?
Did the small children, the infants, have pens at certain times? Or would it just have been the older children that had
pens? I think it was only the older ones.
Yes. What about things like handcrafts and painting? Did they do anything much of that?
I don't remember any.
No.
I had crayons.
Mm-hmm.
All our colour works in crayons. And for drawing, we used to do a lot of... Well, this was the older children, not the infants. They used to do model drawing. All the geometrical figures. The cylinders, the pyramids. All those things were kept. Big models of them in a big cupboard. And they put them on a stool and you had to copy them. Draw them on your paper as you saw them. But there was nothing in the way of an animated drawing or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only picture what you do today.
And I suppose there was very little in the way of physical activities.
Oh, we had drill.
You had drill.
Oh, drill.
Did you go out in the playground for that?
Hardly. Yeah. Sometimes we had it in the dance. We always had drill.
And
very good, really.
Yes.
Physically.
What about the field outside the school? Did they use that very much?
Never.
really.
Mm. All that big field was never used, and the ball field was beyond it. Mm. And just at the top, coming down over at the end of Mr. Bates' house, there was a hedge, and there was some building or house or something behind it, and I never, ever found out what that was. I expect it was somebody's home.
Yes.
Mm. But I never found out.
There is an old cottage there, actually.
Ah. Mm. Well, that would be what it was.
Yes.
It was quite a big square.
I don't know, there's a bowling green there, whether the bowling green was there.
Ah, perhaps that was it.
Yes.
Mm. Well, perhaps that was it.
Because the cottage, there is another cottage, well, two or three, bowling green cottage it's called, too. So.
Well,
yes, I expect the bowling green would have been there in those days.
Oh, I expect it would.
Mm.
Oh, it's a very old joke, isn't it?
Yes.
It goes back to great times.
Yes.
And there was a house occupied by a family called Hinckley.
That's a name that's still about in Cranbrook. Mm. They've had Hinckley children.
Oh, no. Where? It wasn't far from the school. I can't place it.
Across the fields at the back?
Oh no, it was the front somewhere.
Oh.
But I can't remember where it was. But I know that a girl came from there. She was a Hinckley. And when she was born, her father was a war duty in France. And the girl was born. And they had to name her. So they called her Anna. And father said, yes, but we'll have a bit more. So the father said to him, yes. Well, we'll call her by the name of the place where you were when she was born. So they called her child Anna Lorraine. No, Anna Chitina Lorraine Hinckley. Chitina was a town in France. Lorraine was the area. So they called her Anna Chitina Lorraine Hinckley.
Yeah. Poor child.
It would only be worse if you'd been in Timbuktu, couldn't it?
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, the family things just stand out in one's memory, mind you.
Mm.
Or lots of other things happened. They swept away.
Yes.
It's like the twins, the Cashford twins.
Oh, yes.
One was sent to school before the other. The big sister came into this Solomonship. Brothers only sent one small. So I said, well, where's the other? Where's his brother? And Mum said, you couldn't possibly manage them both together, miss, so she sent you one at a time.
I can't help you. I remember George, and I think he died fairly recently. He served in the fishmonger's shop.
Oh, yes. Now, the fishmonger was kept by Alan, Mr. Alan.
Oh, yes.
And that was on the side just up above the draper's at the corner.
Yes. Palmer and White.
Palmer and Whiteley. Oh, I remember Palmer and Whiteley, too.
Yes.
Palmer was the elder man. I think he was a bachelor. And Whiteley had a family. I went in there one morning. No, on lunchtime I expect it was, as in a family. And the little boy, Whiteley's little boy, was sitting on a cushion at the end of the counter. He was clapping his hands and he was singing, the cats yammed away with the rabbit, the cats runned away with the rabbit, the cats runned away with the rabbit. The cat taking the rabbit to bed dinner and eating it.
Oh.
I remember that.
Oh dear. And of course a little further along was the Bakers, where the Parkers were.
because there were two Annas. There was one on the hill, the grocer.
Yes.
And his, I think it was his brother, or his nephew, or some relation. He had the fish shop. And later on, after the war, when the vestry hall was released, they started a democratic society.
Yes.
And Daisy Allen, she stood here somewhere. Where does she live now?
I'm not sure that they do. I know she has been around. Whether she actually still is today, I'm not sure.
Well, she was the last time I heard of her.
Yeah.
A year or two ago, somebody told me Daisy Allen was still
around. Oh, yeah.
Because she played Yum Yum.
Yes.
She played all the soprano parts in all the plays we did.
Yeah.
And, in the first one we had the vicar. That was the Provis. He played the Carmen. Yes, he played the Carmen. I played Catisha. And we did Gondoliers. And I learned it. And when I came away in 1923, they were going to do Young and the Farm.
Oh, yes.
And also they did Miss Book of Holland.
Mm.
I wasn't there. I didn't see either of those. Gone. Because I never came back. And the girl was very disappointed.
I'm sure he was.
He was a great man.
He must have been there for quite a while. Do you remember anyone by the name of Baker? At the school there was an Andrea Baker, evidently, at one time. And the Baker family were all quite interested in dramatics and dancing and that kind of thing.
The Bakers, the name's familiar, but I can't remember the person.
Mm.
I tell you another one who was interested in it was Guy Chittenden.
Oh yes, the Chittendens had a shop, didn't they?
That's right.
Yes.
They had a grocer shop.
Yes, that's right.
Halfway along there. I think it was next door to Wilmshurst, the butcher.
Yes. Yes, it would have been about there.
Mm. And then there was some
Bangham's. Remember the Bangham?
I don't remember the Bangham's, only those over here now.
Oh.
They're a television people now.
Yes.
I didn't know they were the old family then.
Well, the people that have got the shop now are not actually called Bangham.
No.
They just kept the name. Mm. For...
Ah. I know they come to see the television when we are.
Oh, yes. Now, the Bakers, they lived in a house up the high street, quite a big house. They're sort of pineapples over the porchway, the front door. And there's a Mrs. Baker still there now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this Andrea Baker evidently became a ballet dancer.
Oh, yes.
And also she modelled for Epstein.
Now, there was another one that modelled for Epstein. Now, who was that? Somebody, Goldie and I knew. Joyce, and Miss Joyce, his granddaughter, is somewhere around.
Oh,
I met
yes.
her not long ago.
Really?
Not many years ago, anyway. Mm-hmm. She was still in Cranbrook then.
Yes.
And Dr. Shaw. Dr. Brett lived on the left-hand side, somewhere at the top. And Dr. Joyce was on the right-hand side at the top. And Dr. Shaw was about halfway down mm-hmm. On the right-hand side. That's the going upwards. That the Dr. Joyce his daughter, no, his granddaughter, she came over to Sandhurst. She was doing some sort of, not exactly relief work, but something that took her from different places.
Oh, yes.
And I think it was still in the hospital, I don't know why. Anyhow, I met this Miss Joyce. Oh, I said, Miss Joyce. I knew a Dr. Joyce in Cranbrook. Oh, did you? She said, that's right. Why, shouldn't it be your father? No, she said, that's my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Just interrupting, is that one of the ladies who took you up to the hospital by Charles sometime?
Ah, yes. When I had
the hospital transport.
That's right.
And the voluntary.
That's right. And she was doing voluntary services for the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to a hospital. And she came and picked me up there, didn't I? And as we were going along, we were talking, of course, and that's how it came on.
Yes, I've come across Dr. Joyce's name in the minutes to do with the school.
Oh, yes, he was one of the managers or governors.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And I remember another thing that happened to do with him and me. When I was living in Court Style, which is not like it is today, there was a row of houses which is still there. And on the opposite side, the road that goes down into Cowdhurst, there were two houses. And in one of those lived Miss Crump. I don't know if that's a name now, but there were Crumps in Cranbrook Town, and Crump up, and one Miss Crump up there. And I lodged with her for a time with the Gordon, wasn't it?
Yes, I think we said that.
Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I came down to breakfast one morning. I couldn't understand why Miss Crump wasn't there, because she was a wonderful housekeeper. She'd been a housekeeper in a big house and properly trained. She'd been sent to a domestic college and learned all there was to learn about cooking.
Yes.
And she'd been a cook to three elderly gentlemen, brothers. She'd stayed there for a long time. And then she got this cottage and came up there. And with her was her niece. Her parents lived down in the town, but she always came up to her aunt. I came down one morning and I couldn't understand where she was and called her and couldn't make Rachel, what's the matter? She was talking nonsense. So I called her therapy, and I said, ring Dr. Joyce and tell him he's needed up here at once. And he came up. And she lost her mind, she'd gone out of her mind. She'd been saving her money, has invested it all in Russia. And Russia, of course, had collapsed, and everything was lost. And every penny she saved was gone. He turned up for everything was gone. So Dr. Joyce gave her an injection. He said she only to go to Maidstone, the hospital then. And Goldie had gone down to school, of course. And I stayed up. He said, I'll send the car up for her and wait for them until it comes. So I waited. Presently this car came up, carried her body with it. And Mr. Gilbert, I think the name was, he was a sort of, he was a neighbour. He had to take her to Maidstone to the mental hospital. I think it was really alarming.
Yes.
And she was in there all our time, so of course we left there all together then. And Goldie came and stayed with my mother and me, and then she left altogether and went back to Folkestone. But I never saw Miss Crumb again, because soon after that I left for Trevina.
Yes.
That was a sad subject, it's shown up there.
Yes. Yes, I know
I
the cottages you mean. But they're still there on the corner. Yes.
Well, we looked and couldn't see them. Well, we're going up that way again.
The Holmans live in one. Did you know Ted Holmans?
No.
They've been there a long, long time. And they had, I think, three children who did extremely well. One of them is, I think, in the Foreign Office or something like that. Or he's an advisor to one of the ministries or whatever.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know the lady who lived next door, was eccentric. She came into Miss Crumb in terrible trouble. She said, I've lost my needle. I've lost my needle, Miss Crumb, I'll try it too. So Aunt Crumb said, oh, well, the best thing you can do is take the next one out of the packet. But she said, I haven't another one. Miss Crumb said, you haven't another one. No, she said, that's my mother's needle, and I've always used it. I've never had any other needle. One needle.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Anyway, where have we got to?
Did Dr. Joyce come to examine the children? Did they have medical examinations?
No,
wasn't that?
No, they hadn't started then.
They didn't start that. No. And of course, they all went home at dinner time, didn't they, in those days? Well, I suppose you'd have some children that was too far to go home.
Yes,
they'd have to bring their
all from the woods.
Bedgebury Woods, I suppose, yes.
They used to come and bring their lunches.
Yes.
But once or twice a week, we had soup from the soup kitchen.
Mm.
Some ladies used to give their time and a certain amount of money, and butchers used to provide all sorts of loaves and meat and stuff. And they made soup, and they took it round to the old people. And they always brought some up for the children who stayed for dinner.
Mm.
Sometimes I stayed for dinner and took my sandwiches, or often I went home for sissy notes, or a bicycle. bicycle is to Mount Shovel.
No, it's not far, is it?
Yes.
And
it
of course,
very nice weather. I used to go across this park. There were steps from the bottom of Frinton, Cranbrook Hill, that went up into the park, and you could walk straight through and come out on the Gomford Road.
Oh yes. Miss Sutherland lived across the field, didn't she? In the windmill cottages, isn't that right?
Up at the top.
Yes.
The second one of the first pair.
Oh, yes.
I think there were three pairs up there.
Yes, I think you're right.
I think she was next to the end.
Mm-hmm.
She lived up there with her mother when I first came.
Yes.
Her mother was very old and she lived up there. And Miss Sutherland herself never went to school. Her father taught her.
Really?
Yes. She passed all her examinations with flying colours.
Oh, yes.
So she never went to school.
What about college? How did she become a teacher?
Well, that I never inquired.
Yeah.
I suppose she went to college.
Or I suppose she could have.
She would have been just not, but I don't think she would.
She would
have been a headmistress if she hadn't been to college.
No.
But all colleges weren't all that common in those days.
No, they weren't. No.
Yeah. Of course, education wasn't all that college that common, so important as it is today.
No, no.
A lot of children got away with it.
That's right.
They never went into the.
You did have gypsy children, though, did you? Did you have gypsy children, though, in the granny?
Gypsies.
They probably wouldn't have gone anywhere.
I don't remember gypsies ever coming to Cranbrook.
I know, of course, when I first went there, I was there in 1947 before I went to college, and we had some children that were more or less gypsies, and they came from one of the outlying farms. But I expect in your day, probably, the gypsies would have been the ones that would have got by without any education at all.
Yes, I expect they did.
I don't suppose the authorities chased them up that much and they would have got away with it.
No, I was in one school. I forget where it was now. I've been into quite a number of different counties. But we used to have gypsies, and they came for so long and then went on their journeys and came back again the following year. You never could get any real education out of them or into them.
They come for certain periods, don't they? The fruit picking time, you get them, and then they'll go off somewhere else for the winter for other work on the farms. And
yes,
this is what happens.
Derby Day, which is
Oh, do they?